concerned that your car just isn't big enough? Do you wish that you could take up multiple parking spaces? Then try getting a monster truck. Monster trucks. Not really a monster, barely even a truck. Monster trucks. Monster trucks are proud sponsors, not of Diesel and Clooney. That's right. Diesel and Clooney are not legally represented by any monster trucks.
This is maybe the truest statement since we started this podcast.
And you know what, Jerry? We do believe in truth in advertising.
We're not sponsored by IKEA.
IKEA.
Even more true.
Also true. No airlines. And now, no monster trucks.
One by one, checking them off.
Checking them off. And not Turkish Delight, which I would refuse. Even if a Turkish Delight company approached us, I would say, no! Let your confectionery mature into full-on gummy bears, then come back to us.
I'd take it. I've never had Turkish Delight, I don't think.
Dear Jerry.
But I saw what happened in Narnia. And
We don't want that. We don't want that. And you know, speaking of Narnia, Jerry...
I'm curious where you're going with this one. Yep.
Well, Narnia was a mystery hidden behind a door.
Wardrobe.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I was working on it. Behind a common piece of furniture. And you know, there's a mystery guest hidden behind the veil of the fact that our listeners can't see our screens. It was the most tedious link humanly possible, and I went for it.
The wardrobe of audio only. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, we do have a guest, and I am excited. I know we're not supposed to compare guests against others or say who's our favorite, but this is one of my favorites because this is a great, great friend and like an absolute. I feel like he sits in the space between you and I, and
would you say that space is two parking spaces? Is he pretty much the monster truck?
Basically, the monster truck parked between us.
Because
he has, I think he has similar roots and origin stories to me as far as monocultural, multicultural, all of that. But he also has one of the biggest hearts I've ever seen for TCKs and for international school education. He's brilliant. He's talented. He's creative like you wouldn't believe. My buddy, my friend, my coach, Josh Altman-Schofer is here. Hi, Josh.
Hi. Wow. That was, I'm good. You filled me up on my affirmation. my bucket is full. That was amazing.
Literally the best human in the history of humans.
We're so glad you're here. It's an honor to have you. And I was a little concerned when Jerry started that introduction because he said, the best heart I have ever seen. And I was like, oh my. Like, was there some backstory in your friendship where Jerry had to perform emergency heart surgery on you? Because stranger things have happened.
It's true.
And then he went on to relate it to how much you care about people, not necessarily these laid eyes on the chambers of your heart.
Although
that's a great phrase.
The chambers. I have poured I've poured the chambers of my heart out to Jerry many a time.
This is true.
then it's perfect. Well, then we're glad to have you here. Prepare yourself to open those chambers once again to both of our listeners.
Yeah, I thought this would be fun because our last episode, we spoke with Dylan, who was a public school teacher in the U.S. and had a great conversation just about like his experience and his heart for kids. And I thought this would be a great contrast considering the types of things that Chris and I talk about, just about like my history, his history, the gap and the differences and the similarities between us. So I'm really excited just to have a conversation about who you are and what you have done and maybe a little bit, and I'm sorry to bring this up, but maybe a little bit how much you miss it. So, so if you could just like give us the 1 minute version of your experience, your heart, your love for TCKs and what you've done.
You know what though? Don't leave it at just 1 minute. You're double parked in between us. You deserve at least 2 minutes. You can have a monster truck size spell in order to explain your path.
I'm just a studier of how these things work. And I know that like maybe not with Josh. Josh might keep it to 1 minute, but most people you say 1 minute, you're giving them 10.
Well, that's true.
But we just want to hear your story. Tell us about you, Josh.
Well, wow. Yeah. Well, it's great to be here. First of all, let me just, I'll use part of my minute to say that I love you. I love this, love the show. long time listener, first time caller. truly an honor to be here. Let's see. I had, like Jerry said, I didn't have any sort of international experience at all growing up, and I was intrigued by it. I knew of international schools. I learned about them at some point. I'm not quite sure when exactly that happened, but I thought, oh, that seems like a really cool thing. And so I was intrigued by the idea. In 2006, I moved to China. And
which is the same year I moved to China, by the way.
Which was the same year that Jerry moved to China. Although we weren't really best friends yet at that point.
I don't know that we may have intersected, but I don't know that we really connected.
Yeah. But that was the beginning of my international school career. I taught fifth grade for 8 years, and then I moved to middle school. I did a variety of things in the middle school at our international school. And then in 2020, COVID hit, and we left the country. And maybe we'll get more into that. It was not necessarily because of COVID. It was a little indirect, but it did happen, and we were never able to get back. And so, to answer the question of how much I miss it, it is terrible. it is a daily weight on my heart. the chambers.
How long did you think you were leaving for when you left China?
Well, we left to get a passport renewed. So that's we couldn't renew passports in China anymore at the time that we left because the embassies were all closed. And so we knew it was probably going to be like 5 weeks or something, you know, however long it takes to get an expedited passport. Turns out when we got to America, there was no expedited passports either because everything is shut down in the United States as well. Yeah. But we thought it'd probably be 4 or 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. And it turned into, it's still going, so we haven't been back yet, but we tried for a little over a year, I would say, to get back. And then we kind of said, this obviously is not working right now. We're going to have to put it on a postponement for indefinite amount of time.
Right.
So.
Right. And that story is, that story is devastating to me. It's similar to our own story, but it's also repeated thousands of times over. Like, I don't know, that a lot of people have that kind of that understanding of what COVID did to people people had gone through the transition of becoming an expat and were kind of committed to that life, at least for the next several years. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, left for a moment because they needed to get out. They needed to go, they needed to be somewhere else. And then just that disrupted their story, their timeline. It really changed things for them. Yeah.
Yeah. I know it's not a unique story, because, you know, there was, I don't know how many people were affected in similar ways, you know, thousands, maybe tens of thousands, you know, whose lives were disrupted like this, but, didn't make it any easier.
Well, and I mean, in one sense, it's not unique because a lot of people went through that. But in another sense, it's absolutely unique because your story was involved, you and your family, and going to different places and staying in different homes and the uncertainty. And so there's that's a very, very personal experience and a unique story. Even though it happened to everyone. And it's like that's one of the things we talk about when we talk about COVID. It's like sympathy kind of dropped off the face of the earth, mm-hmm. because everybody had a tough COVID story, and everybody had a tough COVID story, right? Like this is really rough. This is one of the roughest things I've been through. And oh yeah, it is for most of the people on earth as well. So that's been a massive challenge.
Yeah. And I think it was, you bring up a good point, because I think it was compounding for some people. Everybody does have, you know, COVID stories. It just, you know, so many people, it affected their livelihood. So many people, it affected loved ones. So many people, it affected, their socialization, just their health, their everything. But I think it's a story that I've heard, you know, quite a few times within the expat community, especially, that, you know, not only was it a shock to all those things, But to have to throw onto that also massive uncertainty about where you even get to live. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea that you left a place thinking, oh, I'll be back in a few weeks. And it means that you probably didn't say the goodbyes that you normally would do as you leave a place. And so COVID took goodbyes. I mean, I don't even know what happened to your stuff. I have other people who said, yeah, we just abandoned our stuff. Everything that we had with us, we just no longer have because we can't go back to get it. And so not only was it career changing, friendship changing, health changing, it was also everything you own changing and location changing. And it just added a whole new level of uncertainty. And I wonder what, you know, and maybe it's not a fun question to ask, but I'm going to ask it anyway, because you're a monster truck enough to take it. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, how does this affect how you see the future? Do you think you're more wary of things? Would you go back into an expat situation again? Now, I mean, you've had an experience that shows that it can be very fragile. Mm-hmm. Would that still be worth it to you?
Yeah, that's a great question, Chris. That is a great question. I think it definitely, you know, built some caution in me that maybe wasn't mm-hmm. there before. And I think just, yeah, it's a really good question. I really desire to go, if not back to China, somewhere else, you know, like I just feel like my heart is shaped for third culture kids. And mm-hmm. so that's just who I want to be around. And I don't have that here in my current situation. So I want, other than my own children and my own children are very important to me, obviously. And so they are, they're doing really well where we are right now. Mm-hmm. And it was definitely hard, you know. My oldest daughter, there was a point in this whole transition thing where she asked me, she said, what was the worst day of your entire life? Mm-hmm. You know, and we had that kind of conversation. And when I asked her what hers was the day that we were in the airport getting ready to go back and found out that, you know, we couldn't go back even though we were at the airport and all our stuff was packed and we were ready to go. Mm-hmm. And that was her worst day of her life. So stuff like that, it does make you like, you know, consider like, what am I pulling my kids into, and how much do I want to disrupt their lives right now? Right. You know?
Right.
Mm. So.
Wow. So, okay. I want to shift gears just a little bit and
please do. That was getting heavy. Sorry.
Wow. We went dark.
Sorry.
No. This is good. Because it's okay. So like, this is a common part of conversations that we have, a common part of any type of cross-cultural training that I would do. And it's just a conversation that I've had with a lot of people, right? Is the reason that those moments are so hard is because it was so good, right? Mm-hmm. So the reason it was so hard for your daughter is because of what it meant she was giving up, what it meant she was losing. And that was really good. And so like, the only way to make it not hard is to make it not good, right? And we've all seen expats who do that, right? Like, who just aren't going to connect with anybody. No relationships for me. Stay away from me. I know how this goes. Goodbye is coming. And so let's just don't even say hello, right? Like, there's plenty mm-hmm. of people who do that. And yet there are other people who, like yourself, and I'm speaking from observant experience, because we were in the same place and I just watched how you did the expat life, is that you embraced the good. There was something really, really good about that life that connected with you. And this is, I think, what our connection was, is we both come from a similar growing up experience, but there's something about this cross-cultural life that just really, really draws us in and connects to us. So like, my question for you is what was that, right? Like, what was so good about living overseas for you?
You know, I think for me, it's all about relationships. Like, life is just relationships, you know? Mm-hmm. And, I do think you're right that there's something different, in the relationships you form with someone who's either, got a completely different you know, background and thing than you. Like that's a cool relationship, you know? And then there's also those relationships that are, that you form where you find people who are similar to you. But you're both in this different place, you know? So you've changed that variable instead, you know, like meeting people who are similar to you, you know, in your hometown. Well, that's expected, you know, meeting someone who's really similar to you when you're, 12 time zones away, like that's unexpected. And so then there's something really cool about that relationship as well. You know, like how'd you get here and how'd I get here? So, I think those relationships, there's just no, there's no trading them, you know?
Yeah. What, because I know this about you is just you, like you have this connection to third culture kids and and I'm curious, like I've got kind of two separate questions. It's like one, where did that connection come from, or what was the story of that connection? But also I'd love to hear you talk about where your heart for TCKs and creativity intersect, because you're one of the most creative people I think I've ever met. And I got to watch that intersect with TCKs, and it was brilliant. It was beautiful. So I'd love to hear you kind of talk about that.
Well, I'll be honest. The first TCKs that I met, I didn't like, you know,
my people, I'm so sorry. Yeah. Yep. We apologize unreservedly.
No. It was definitely me. Yeah. Please don't apologize. It was on my end.
Accept your apology then. Never mind.
Yes. Please accept my apology. I think this is a common thing, right? Like, I think it's not anything that your two listeners are probably, surprised about, but, there is a way that, third culture kids, when they're back in their, you know, when they're running against the monocultural people, you know, I don't want to say back because that's the wrong language, but you know what I mean? When they're, when a third culture kid is in their passport country, maybe is the right way to say it. They can come off as, because they're different, you know, and it can come off as almost like an arrogance or something, you know, and it's not, and like, looking back, I see what a fool I was, you know, but, I think this is a conversation that's been had many times, you know, about, you know, someone who comes in with all these experiences and they're just trying to connect. And then there's people who have no idea what they're talking about, and it just, you know, you can miss each other. And so, so that was where I started, oddly enough, you know, but it took moving and living the international life myself, you know, and being surrounded by, these third culture kids to realize like, oh, how wrong I had it, you know? And I think that's a big part of it, actually. Like that's a big part of the origin story of, you know, where I'm coming from is like, not trying to like balance the scales or anything, but like, there's like this big piece where it's like, oh, I was so wrong. Like, let me learn and try and get it right, you know? Mm. And so, and then, so that's where the learning began, and the learning was followed by loving, I guess, you know? As far as the creativity piece goes, I think the thing with, I don't think this is third culture kid specific. I think this is just life specific, you know, like every person has their uniqueness. There's something in them, you know, and, it's the creative person's job to kind of like help them find it. Like with third culture kids, I feel like there's, ample opportunity because, there's so many, identity questions there already, you know, that there's just ample opportunity to like for the creative person to help bring that out, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think, I don't know if we've touched on the arrogance thing before, but I'm glad you brought it up. Cause I think there's two sides to it. I think you're right. Sometimes TCKs really are perceived as arrogant when they're not trying to be. And in fact, you know, and I think we have brought it up, but one of the things that I often end up saying to third culture kids who are about to go to university, say in a familiar or their passport country or something, is basically telling them, as horrible as it sounds, you're going to need to edit your story. You're going to need to take out, at bare minimum, take out location information, because that automatically makes you sound. I can remember trying out university in the US, and some people, I was in Washington State, and they had talked about a ski trip they'd been on. So I thought, look, bonding opportunity. I too have skied. We have something in common. And so I told him, I said, oh, we used to go skiing, you know, Lake Bled in Slovenia and on the Zugspitz in Garmisch-Partenkirchen in Germany. And they tune out because they're like, eh, spoiled rich kid, go skiing in Europe.
Right.
Like, I lived there. It would be really ridiculous if I came and skied in the U.S. Like, that would be an expensive trip. I skied locally. It's just that my local happened to be Europe. And anyway, but it is, you sort of miss out because you assign. So I do warn TCKs, you're going to need to, at bare minimum, edit out location information. But I have to admit, the flip side is that sometimes TCKs, without knowing it, and I'm guilty of this too, actually can build up some kind of arrogance when it comes to comparing themselves to monocultural kids. I can distinctly remember, you know, being, I think I was in the UK with a friend, and I went to go pay for our coffees, and I hadn't cleaned up my wallet in a while. And so I was fishing through trying to find the right currency. And my friend was just amazed. And they were like, you know what all of those different monies are worth? And I was like, well, yes, of course I do. It would be really silly to spend money if you don't know its value. Like, are you some kind of idiot? And I did. I had this very arrogant moment where I genuinely sort of looked at them and thought, oh, you live your life in one currency. That's so cute.
That's sweet.
And it is. That's, you know, I could learn so much from them about consistency. I may know exchange rates, but they know other areas. So I think it's interesting you bring that up. And it kind of makes me want to ask, you know, the follow on kind of to that, since you know, you started out with your impression of TCKs, and that's a very real impression for good reason. But, you know, since you had the experience with third culture kids and you were in that, you know, expat environment, you were in their world for a bit. And then, you know, you've now returned to your passport country. How did that change? How did that experience change how you perceive the world? I mean, did you find, for example, you know, did you come back and have any struggles with arrogance? Did you look at, you know, what used to be people that were just like you?
Yeah, no, I've heard the stories about Josh when he got back. Like, he was a jerk. He was.
You heard those stories. Yeah, I thank you for your honesty there, Chris. I do think that there's something about you know, anybody who's had this experience and then coming back, like, it's a real temptation, you know, to feel like, oh, I have something that other people don't, or I get it in a way that other people don't, you know. It's difficult, you know, like there's a broadening of your horizons, and there's just no way around that, you know. Mm-hmm. The thing that keeps you humble is realizing that from the other side they feel like you're foolish in some way, you know, like, I mean, this goes back. I mean, this is a thousands and thousands of years old phenomenon, you know, like, you think about Plato and his cave, you know, and the guys who get out of the cave and so they've learned something, but then when they come back into the cave, their eyes have adjusted to the light. They can't see in the dark, and even rudimentary tasks they can't do anymore, you know? So even though, like, they have this broad perspective, to everybody who's been left in the cave, they look like fools, you know. And I think there is that aspect of that, you know, like, if you just, Chris, I know empathy is always waiting in the wings for you, you know.
So, it is any chance I can get.
so you know, just having empathy, I think, is the way to stay non-arrogant, you know, like, the temptation is there, but then remembering, like, oh, from this person's perspective, I probably look like a fool. Like, why'd you throw 15 years of your life to China? Like, China? You know, like, who would want to go to China, you know? So, right. Yeah.
Oh, Jerry, did you hear that? I didn't even have to go. Well, you know, Jerry,
like, he invited me. I knew. Oh,
just... makes me so happy. Makes me so happy.
That's the that's the tire that's in your lane over there. Yeah, it's so that empathy tire.
You're speaking my language. And it is. I think it's fascinating. And I love that you brought it up. And, you know, I do, I feel like you're in a unique perspective because you've been in both worlds, and 15 years. I mean, that is absolutely, you know, that's a long enough to definitely get some trends set. And I mean, that's an adolescent, that's a teenager's life. Mm-hmm. So you spent right. a teenager's life, you know, in the expat experience and everything. So you do, you have, the broad perspective of holding simultaneously what it's like to grow up with, you know, roots and, you know, whatever the normality we want to assign to a more monocultural, which I think even that, I think we downplay it. I think everyone has more cultural influence than perhaps they realize, but, mm-hmm. But you do, you've got that experience. Then you added in a teenager's life worth of the expat world. And then you got put back in again. So you mm-hmm. probably are in a marvelously unique position, with both worlds. And I wonder, you know, as someone who I grew up as a TCK and then just kept on moving. So, you know, in some ways I'm actually, if you really want to look at it in a meta sense, not to get over ontological.
It's all right. Josh already went to Plato. Let's get
That's true. He opened the door to Plato. Right, so I can get ontological.
Let's go meta.
Let's go meta, shall we?
Let's go Zuckerberg.
Dylan Clooney is not sponsored by Zuckerberg. Meta or Facebook.
Understatement or WhatsApp.
What else do they own? Right, I mean, they own so much. But anyway, with all that, in some ways, you know, I've actually had kind of a monocultural existence in that my entire life has been this in-betweeny culture. Mm. You know, that's all I've ever known. You know, yeah, for me, in some ways, I am monocultural. All I know is transience. Whereas if we really zoom out, you've experienced both. And so with that in mind, you know, what advice would you give to third culture kids to help understand the other side? Because I think we hear a lot about how people need to try to understand TCKs and, you know, we can sound arrogant and all this kind of stuff. And it's, you know, home is harder to describe and rootlessness and restlessness and that's well known. But I don't hear quite as much about what would be helpful for TCKs to understand about people who know more about stability or longevity or what have you. So you've truly had enough of time sort of in both worlds. What advice would you give to TCKs to help them understand their non-TCK counterparts?
Okay, wait, pause okay. before you go there. Remember that question. Let's put a pin in that question.
Okay.
Because Chris, you just coined a new concept, a new paradigm, a new philosophy for me.
Did I?
Because when I think of meta, I think we're going high, like we're going 60,000 feet and we're looking at the whole thing, right? Like mm-hmm, that's mm-hmm. meta, but you just went meta deep.
Ooh. Huh?
Meta deep. Because the concept of your TCK cross-cultural incredibly transitory experience being monocultural, I think, is meta deep. And I think meta we need deep. To unpack that further and further. Unpause.
Okay. Okay.
The question, go.
Well, thanks for pausing and giving me time to think, because that is a hard question.
It's a meta deep question.
It's a meta deep question. And deep I don't know that I have a meta deep answer.
You got this.
I mean, I think
maybe that's what makes it so meta deep.
Yeah, that's what makes it so meta deep.
Nuggets.
Nuggets from Jerry. Well, I think perhaps this is like I said, this is a really tough question, but perhaps you could start with, you know, what can I learn from another person? And if you can approach a new relationship or an old relationship, you know, a reunited relationship, you know, with a cousin or with a, you know, a grandma or whatever, you know, and recognize, like, you know, grandma might say something or grandpa might say something that's going to hurt, you know, they're going to be like, we're so glad you're back home, you know, mm-hmm. even though you left home.
You must be so glad to be home.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. You must be so glad to be home. And if you can hear in that, we're so glad that you are here with
right,
us.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
And that's what they're trying to say. They're not saying it right. It's a different language. You know. You have to have the same sort of empathy you would have for someone who can't quite speak your language. That you carry with you all the time in your third culture kid environment. Now it's a little more hidden because you think you're speaking the same language, because you're speaking that passport culture language, but it's still a different language. And so can you translate, you know, from what is being said to you? And then also, can you figure out what can I learn from this person? Because I think, as you learn from people, then they're willing to learn from you as well, you know? Hopefully.
What a marvelously good point.
Hopefully. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's my Josh.
He's a good one, Jerry. He's a good
he's
one.
A good one.
He's a keeper.
Yeah. Like Josh, for me, I just think of, I go back to your first statement about like what made it good, right? It's relationships. I think that is one of the things that we miss in the adventure of a cross-cultural experience. Like our brain is just kind of hardwired to go directly to culture. And when I say culture, I almost mean like stereotype deep culture. For those of us who grew up, I can't even say monocultural anymore, Chris, because now you're monocultural.
I know. I'm throwing all the definitions, throwing them all on their head.
But for those of us who grew up in a cornfield and never left until they went to the opposite side of the globe, like to see that and to have those experiences, like China's full of rich history and culture and there's all these things and you're just like your senses are overwhelmed by it. But leaving China, the reality is, the hardest thing to leave was those relationships, right? Like those connections and the fact that we both kind of left during COVID, Josh, like there were so many of those goodbyes that didn't get to be said. There were so many of those, hey, we'll see you in a couple of weeks or we'll see you in 5 weeks or we'll see you. And then none of us had any clue what was about to happen. And it completely changed at least our connection. It didn't change everything about those relationships, but it changed the fact that we didn't get to, you and I didn't get to meet every week anymore. Right.
Right. Like
that was our habit. That was our custom was to, and I looked forward to that. And then all of a sudden it's like, I don't know if I'm going to see Josh face to face again. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So like relationships absolutely are key. And honestly, I think it's the measure of who does this well, whether they're from a monocultural cornfield perspective or a monocultural cheating on that word like Chris does, right? But it's from a TCK perspective, it's really about how you build relationships and how much you invest. And there's different nuances. There's different dynamics about how we process that and how relationships begin. Like that's what all the writing has been about with TCKs, about like the differences between us and them. Go ahead.
Well, I think this is why it's so important to have, you know, people like you who've had a foot in both worlds, because I think, you know, for third culture kids, there's the great RVR, Ruth Van Rieken, the great RVR.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She has a phrase that I've heard her say quite a bit that I love, because she talks about the danger for TCKs of falling into terminal uniqueness, that the danger for third culture kids is they can say, oh, I've had such a unique lifestyle as compared to someone who grew up in one place. And, you know, my particular combination or whatever, no one else can understand. I am terminally unique and therefore will terminally be alone. And I think anyone can trick themselves into thinking that. I don't think just TCKs. I think TCKs can do it with fewer steps, because there are so many glaringly obvious, you know, nobody has lived in this combination of countries during these times. So that's
obvious uniquenesses. Right?
Yeah, there are obvious uniquenesses. But honestly, anyone could gather uniquenesses and fall into terminal uniqueness. I think that, you know, we talk about the antidote to that being expanding the tent, you know, finding the commonality and saying, actually, this is what we all have in common. And I think for many, many of the traits that make TCKs who they are, you can find those commonalities. We all strive for a sense of identity. You know, one of the things that I find now is I think TCKs have a lot in common with more and more people when it comes to identity, because identity is becoming confusing for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, the simple nationality being the easy categorization doesn't work all the time for many, many reasons. So it's not just third culture kids. I think, you know, globalization is an example I use all the time. Globalization has made identity very confusing. We're told strikingly different things under the same breath. Globalization can at the same time say we want to have borderless trade and encourage, you know, we encourage borderless trade. So let's do that. And then in the same breath say, but make sure and buy locally. That's a responsible thing to do.
Right.
Well, those are kind of mutually exclusive. By buying locally, you're not really helping bring down international trade barriers. And by trading internationally, you're not really buying locally. So what is it we're supposed to do? Like, that's a confusing message to send as far as identity. Culture the same way. We're told to put aside our cultural differences in order to tackle global level problems together. Let's unite. And then the same breath, we're told, but make sure and celebrate your individual culture and celebrate the uniquenesses of, well, which is it? Do we put aside our differences or celebrate them? Like, that, those seem, it's very difficult to put something aside and celebrate it. Right. And so I think everybody being given these mixed messages struggles with identity, not just TCKs now. So they're an expanding phenomenon. But I think, I do think for third culture kids, it may be worth understanding that there is something about us that is kind of monocultural, that if my entire existence has been consistently transient, then transience is my norm. You know, I can remember
deep right there.
Meta deep. I know it. We're getting there. I remember,
and Chris, I think, is that the first time I've done that?
No, I'm so proud. Segway, Jerry, segway for me. Segway.
No, as you're talking, it brings me back to why I'm so excited to have Josh here. I think there has been so much written. There has been so much research. There has been, like, and thank you so much to the RVRs, the Ruth Van Riekens, and the Dave Pollocks, and all of those brilliant people who have helped us to understand this concept. And, like, that's one side of it. And there's this translation challenge that we have. Like, who are the people who take all of that research and the kind of heady stuff that just really helps us to understand and communicate it in such a way that really connects to our heart and connects to who we are. And I just want to say that I know as far as I know, you haven't completed this book yet. But the one that stands out to me is My Backpack Ate My Head.
Right? Yes.
Which is just a genius title. I know the book's not written yet, but the title,
Josh,
makes
me. Are
you
working on a book?
He's working on so many books, Chris. He's working on so many books. But really, Josh, and I'd like Josh to speak on behalf of all creative people right now. Chris is speaking on behalf of all TCKs. You speak on behalf of all creative people. I'll speak.
On behalf of monster trucks.
All right, we've all got our lane. Let's stay
in. We've all got our lane.
But there's just like there's this space in the, and I know there are other people who have done this, but it's just like there's something really beautiful about people who can take the research and the big ideas and then translate them into a story that communicates to a seventh grader, right? A 12-year-old. Who's going through all those identity issues and trying to figure out who they are and all of that. And I think that's your gift. I think that's the beauty of what came out of your experience, Josh, that's what it makes me think of when I think of your creativity and your heart for TCKs. When they intersect, you're a translator. Like, you help people like love their identity. So real quick, give the whole world the secrets to speaking truth and life into TCKs. Like, what do you do to connect and like, how can we do that more?
Wow.
No pressure.
It's a simple question. We basically asked you to solve all the world's problems.
Right.
It's not too much to ask. It's not too much to ask, Josh. Let's do this.
Let's do it. Yeah, I'm here for it. I'm totally here for it. I love this. I think the starting point is I don't have the answer. You know, like, I think speaking on behalf of all creative people everywhere, we're not as fond of answers as the questions. Mm. You know, like, you follow the question because it leads to interesting places. You know, mm. And even if you never arrive at an answer, or even if you've arrive
had a lovely journey.
You've had a lovely journey. That's right. Or you get somewhere else, or you get another interesting new question, you know?
Yeah.
I think applying creativity to relationships is the same sort of thing where, people are meta deep, you know? And so, the thing that is fun, I think is digging until somebody finally realizes, like, oh, that you actually care, you know. Mm. Like, I think the common hurdle to getting to know people deeply is that you don't ask enough questions, you know. Mm. But when if you pester people enough, particularly, so I mean, my heart is for third culture kids, but particularly middle school third culture kids. And I'll tell you, middle school third culture kids need pestering. That's really, if there's any answer here, that's the answer. You know, like, you've got to pester them because they want to. Yeah. You know, they don't. I don't know why. I don't know why they need pestering, but they do.
because they pester. Right?
Yeah,
like, that's their first language.
Yeah, that's their language.
Pestering. Right. So if you want to speak to them, you need to pester back. I know, I have one. Go ahead, Chris.
Oh no, I'm so sorry.
You're better than me. I'm just Monster Truck.
Right? Just Monster Truck.
You're all TCKs.
Oh, lest we ever underestimate the power of a monster truck. I mean, I've seen them in action, Jerry. I've seen them in action.
No, monster trucks are kind of the TCKs of vehicles.
Mm-hmm. I love everything about this, and I can see a line of T-shirts being produced. I feel like, Josh, you have come up with this episode's merch ideas. This episode's merch ideas are sponsored by Josh. I do. I want a T-shirt with a monster truck, and I want Josh. I want a little cartoon character of Josh driving.
Like, pause. I have an idea, Josh. Okay. If you will agree, like, we're going to sign a contract right here. If you will agree to sponsoring us with your idea,
ooh,
then you will become our first sponsor.
Are you in?
That, I would love that. Yeah.
All right. We got a sponsor. We've got a sponsor.
That's how the next episode is opening, is I can finally tell
you. Sponsored by Josh.
As opposed to who it's not. Because that list is pretty extensive right now. So, so good.
But Chris, you were about to say something. I'm sorry.
Oh, I did. Who knows what I was going to say? It was nowhere near as good. Oh, no. I remember now. I think what you said is such a good bridge between the TCK and the non-TCK world. And I think the reality is people really do want to be listened to. And I think common to all of us now, and this is just living out what the sociologist Ted Ward, I quote him in lots of my talks, he said in the 1980s that TCKs were the prototype citizens of the future or something to that effect.
Yep.
And one of the reasons I think that's true is that what you said, I think, is a great bridge now. The idea that we all really just want to be pestered. And I think the reason for that is that of late, with the increase in our ability to broadcast, we've all experienced sort of the Erik Erikson developmental psychology step, where when you learn to lie, you learn to fear. Because when you learn to lie, you realize, oh, wait, other people could lie. What can I trust? Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things broadcast has brought to us, our ability to broadcast and manipulate and basically to craft our public self, because of social media and things has grown exponentially. So we can all craft a public self that may differ vastly from a real self. And what I think that's done is made people hungry for genuineness. And so I think whether you're a TCK or not, you're hungry for genuineness. I think TCKs, some of the reason they want to be pestered is they've experienced far too much where their complexity throws people off, where, you know, they if they introduce themselves to someone who's expecting a one word answer from to where are you from, and they don't have a one word answer, people don't know what to do with that and they dismiss them. So TCKs are like, all right, I'm not going to answer that anymore. Like, no one really cares. Mm-hmm. And it's just for them, you know, that translates differently. But I think everybody now really struggles with genuineness. I think we're hungry for it because we all think, oh my gosh, do people really, really care? Do they really want to get to know me? Or is this just a surface thing? In the same way that we've all realized, wow, everybody's lives online look amazing. Look at their feed. Look at everything they're doing. Look at how happy they are. And you compare that to yourself and you go, I'm not that happy. Something's wrong with me. But then you go, oh, wait, I'm making myself look good online. They're probably doing the same thing. Maybe they're not actually that great. Who knows what to trust? We've lost trust. So I think the idea to pester, I think, is universal. I think that bridges everybody now. TCKs need pester because you have to dig through some complexity as compared to other people. And they want to know that you can handle their complexity. Mm-hmm. But in all honesty, it's just a different set of complexity that other people have. And I think, yeah, everybody needs pestered. And that's a big statement for me. I'm saying that as a relative introvert. The idea of being pestered is horrific to me. But even I'm willing to admit that with the right pestering, it does. It reveals some genuineness that there is something nice about knowing, wow, you really actually want to get to know me. Like you're willing to dig deeper than what I show on the surface. And maybe that's the universal trait, is we all now have the ability to create a surface that maybe looks impenetrable. And so we really value when people are like, I'm not scared. I'll still dig below this.
Yeah. Like as you're talking, it's like pestering is part of it. But what Josh is talking about when he talks about pestering is asking questions, right? Like that's how he framed it. And if you're asking questions, you're genuinely listening. And if you're genuinely listening, then you're going to hear somebody. And there's nobody who doesn't want to be heard, right? Like that's when you peel back all of the layers, whether you're a TCK or whether you grew up in a cornfield or like whatever your experience is, nobody doesn't want to be heard and to feel
spies
heard.
Don't want to be heard, but that's a whole other thing.
Spies don't want to be heard, but as people they do.
Oh, well, right? That's true. All right. I'm back.
Yeah. No, and I think that's the brilliance of what Josh is saying right here, right? Like when you ask questions, you're conveying the message. I want to hear you. Like, I want to know your story and and when you say, I want to know your story, you're saying your story matters. Your story is important. Your story. And I think that's where as TCKs, but across the board, as middle schoolers, as teenagers, as humans, we feel like our story doesn't matter, right? Like who wants to hear my story? Mm-hmm. And Josh is saying, ask some questions, listen, and value people. You just elevated the value of all humanity right here on this podcast, Josh. And I knew you would. That's why I brought you here.
Oh, he did. He drove a monster truck right through the chambers of my heart.
All right. So we got to finish up here, but I want to do a couple of things. One, Josh, I credit you with coaching me to one of the bolder moments of my life. I was at a space in the middle of COVID, in the middle of the whole world, where I was starting a business, and part of that business was going to be making videos. And I was absolutely petrified, terrified of putting myself on video, as most people are. Like I'm not alone in that. No. I'm a part of the majority.
Yes.
But I was scared. And in a session, so just for some context, Josh and I went through coaching training together and we sat next to each other, which was either the most brilliant thing we ever did or the biggest mistake we ever made. But we kind of, at the end of that coaching training, we looked at each other and we're like, yeah, you wanna? I don't know. You wanna? Yeah, let's do. And so we started meeting every week and we just coached each other. We just asked coaching questions. And I said, Josh, I'm scared of making videos. And he said, then why don't you go make some videos? And why don't you lower that bar down to the place where, like, just the walk from your office to your house every Wednesday, 3 minutes from my office to my house, Wednesday walks. And it became something that connected me to the people in my life. It moved me past my fear of being seen on video and doing video. It like, and I remember that coaching session very well, and it was powerful. It was a powerful move for me. So Josh, I'm going to push you just a little bit. What's the plot to My Backpack Ate My Head?
Oh no.
Tell me, it doesn't matter if the whole story's done. It doesn't matter if you know the whole thing. What's the heart of My Backpack Ate My Head?
The heart of it is this kid, and he's a third culture kid. Yay. And because he's a third culture kid, and because he's a middle schooler, he has a hard time keeping up with life, as many middle schoolers do, and many third culture kid middle schoolers do. You know, there's a lot going on. Mm-hmm. You know, the twist is that it's not entirely his fault. Like maybe in a normal day-to-day life, it would be, you know, that's the wrong way to say it. I don't want to say entirely his fault, but it's not, there's actually forces at work, you know, that are, you know, there actually is a something wrong with his backpack. It's not just that he loses things in his backpack like most middle schoolers do. There's actually something going on there. But what it is.
I want to read this book. I need.
Right? So many people need to read this book.
Seriously, Josh, sponsor of our podcast. Let's get this book out there.
All right. Yeah, let's do it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Also, like Josh, I'm going to need some coaching too. I too hate making videos. So I'm terrible at it. So I'll sign up a session.
I got this one, Josh. Just go make some videos. That's all there is to it.
Ugh. That sounds hard.
Josh, you have a podcast of your own. Am I correct?
Yeah, I do. Me and my friend Michael Farmer and I, we podcast once a month. And we have been watching the entire Disney animated canon in chronological order. If you have a favorite Disney animated movie, chances are we've already talked about it because
where are you now?
This upcoming month is Raya and the Last Dragon.
So
we've made it almost to the end. Our most recent episode is this posts, or I don't know when this posts, as we record, was Mary Poppins Returns. Oh, and some people might be like, well, that's not in the Disney animated canon. And it's true, it's not. When we hit the end of a decade, we do like, you know, a tangential film. So that's the latest.
Only really the Disney nerds are gonna say that. And fair enough. You do a podcast about that, you're gonna pull out some Disney nerds.
Where
can people find this podcast? What's it called? And where can people find it?
So it's called Before They Were Live, which is a really dumb name. Okay, it's because they're now making live actions of all the animated canon, it seems like. So Before They Were Live, and you can search for that in your favorite podcast player, and it should pop up.
So are you going to stop when they move to live action?
You know, they're going to continue doing one a year for sure. But for our podcast, we've got some things in the works for what we're
going
to do.
It's going to keep going.
Yes, but I'm not going to reveal anything.
Oh my gosh, dear listener, what are you still doing with us? Go over to that podcast now. Just go. We know you want to.
It's a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun.
Oh, I can't wait. Josh, it's been so much fun having you here, our first sponsor.
Yeah, it's been amazing. I've never sponsored anything in quite this way before. So.
Well, it comes with a lot of responsibilities. You'll get your packet in the mail.
Yeah.
That's right.
I guess I sponsored some World Vision kids. Is it kind of like that?
This is the same thing, basically. So many similarities.
You guys send me a picture to hang on my fridge.
Oh, don't think we won't. Don't you think we won't, Josh?
Oh, it's going to be brilliant. Josh, it's been so good having you. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's been amazing. Thank you guys for having me. I feel really, like I said at the beginning, just full of affirmation. You guys were amazing. And you practiced what I said the whole time. You just kept asking me questions. So.
We did. Oh my gosh. Look, we met up. We did what we talked about.
Yeah. Right. I feel heard. Thank you.
What's it like being the best human?
I know.
Jerry, that's a whole other episode. I'm going to have to bring it back for an encore. That's a whole other episode.
I'm in. Encore. Anytime.
Oh, don't worry, listener. We'll definitely bring Judge back. Well, thank you so much for joining us, dear listeners. We hope you've had as much fun as we have. I doubt that's possible because we've had a lot of fun. But we hope you're envious of the amount of fun that we had. And do join us again because you never know when Josh will be back. It'll be a surprise. Could it be next episode? Will it be in 10 episodes? Who knows? Who knows?
Regardless, he sponsors us.
He sponsors us. We have a sponsor. Yay!